fighting for America.
Education should be the number one priority in this state. If we want to improve our economy, our wages, our outcomes for kids, education needs to be Idaho's number one priority to turn this state around.
Fighting for Idaho.
I'm not a big fan of everyone saying reform, 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 because ever since I've been in education, we've been reforming it.
Yeah.
Fighting for you.
My average day here is exciting and fun.
I don't think I've seen a school or heard about a school that has an administration so involved with the students and so approachable.
Having fun's great too, but I mean, academics is going to help you further in life.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And welcome back, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. We're at Bishop Kelly High School. We're joined by David Skinner, teacher, alumnus, parent. The triple threat here, that's quite an accomplishment before 7:15 in the morning.
Triple crown winner, that's right.
How important, how special is this place to you, sir?
Well, it's pretty special. I mean, the day it opened, I was with my mom, and we dropped off my older sister and brother way back in the 60s, and I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I went to school here. Then all my kids have attended here. My brother and sister have attended here. I've taught here 25 years, so, yeah, it's one of my life's great passions.
And not only in light of that, but also education. They go hand in hand. How important is it that people get properly prepared for life outside of primary ed?
Well, there's nothing more important than education. I mean, my grandmother taught in a one-room schoolhouse in Jordan Valley, Oregon, 8 grades for 40 years. So as a very young kid, I was shown what the value of education, books, reading, and everything was. So I've seen the value in it all my life. So my wife was a teacher. I don't think there's any more important profession or thing we can do for our kids.
What goes on in your mind as you see the senior class getting ready to leave year after year?
Well, I just hope they're prepared for what's out there, and I think we do a good job of that here. But it's a different world. You know, it changes all the time with technology, with what people expect of them, and I think more and more it's a world where people expect you to have skills, and that's something we try to work on here.
I guess, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the demand would be to try and come up with the skills that they need to learn and need to master before they get out in the world, and that changes all the time.
Well, it's a tough match. I mean, we're trying to help them also find what their passion is, what they like to do, what they're good at, so, and mesh that with something, some skill they can give to the marketplace. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, I see education and even college as, I've always told my students, like a giant candy store out there. You're trying to figure out what you want to do with yourself that you both enjoy and can contribute to society. So we try to do some of that here, and then when we send them off to college, we see that as a continuation of what we started here.
Do you think you would have fit in if you could get in the hot tub time machine and as a student be a student today as you were back then?
I don't know. That's a long time ago, so it's a much different world. I mean, they all have technology with them all the time. They're all packing phones. They're in a world with instant information, which is so much different than mine was. I mean, they really can look up anything instantly right out of their pocket. So I probably would have fit in. I don't think the kids are that much different. I mean, they have the same things gnawing at them, how to fit in, peer pressure, whether they want to be you know, whether they want to be in athletics or academics or both. So I don't think it's changed that much. I mean, our music was a little better, but other than that, I think there's a lot that's similar.
I still like the verb packing phones.
Yeah.
Packing phones. But that does lead to difficulties when we're talking about the critical thinking process. Back in the day, we had the Encyclopedia Britannica, where you'd have to physically go through and look at the three Punic Wars in Rome. Today, it's Google away, and it's right there.
Yeah, the danger of that is there's not as much reading that goes on. I think that's the thing that concerns me the most, is there's not enough incentive to read, because you can get information, you can spark note every book, you can find any fact you want instantly. So, you know, we did it more the old-fashioned way, and so it's very difficult now to convince kids the value of reading a great book or even text. So because they don't want to spend the time doing that, because they don't have to. They found a quicker, easier way. So that's one of the great challenges, is to get them to read a great book again. So
what about the challenge also of, you know, the World War II generation was so great at this, deferred gratification. And we as a society today, it's instant, instant, instant. You know, there was a life before credit cards called layaway. And, you know, the kids today, and, you know, we're all a product of it. You know, we get everything in 140 characters or less.
Well, I think you're just still trying to build a foundation. I mean, I'm a history teacher, so I mean, there's great value in trying to build a foundation, a background, a source of knowledge and content that will be of great value to you later. I, you know, it's more difficult now, too, because, I mean, even businesses that are hiring kids out of college, they aren't even really concerned about the major. They're looking for kids they can train and work with that have versatility. So it's just a different whole mindset. So, you know, we just still try to, in the classroom, try to create a place where we try to make them think. I mean, that's my goal every day, is to try to make them think about something, not just read something or memorize something, but really think about, analyze something, look at a document, and then try to apply it to where we are today.
What do you say to parents that are worried about their kid getting ready for the ACT, the SAT?
good luck. I think the... The College Board has a stranglehold on American education that is it's ruthless. I mean, they run College Board, they run AP, they run all those things, and they've decided that this is a huge criteria or even deal breaker in determining whether a kid is ready for college. So it's frustrating as a teacher, because I've really seen some fantastic kids that were great thinkers, did all sorts of wonderful things in high school that I know will be successful everywhere, not get into the schools they want to simply because that score, that number, didn't live up to somebody's expectations. So it's very difficult, but it's part of the college world, and the East Coast does a much better job of test prepping than we do, and it's part of the game. And if you want your kid to go to a great school, they're going to have a score that reaches a certain benchmark, so you better realize it and get help and beat it. So that's what I tell them.
You know, we have gotten better, though, at understanding educational difficulties or challenges and working through them than we did even 10 years ago. Looking at education and modifying them, customizing education for people's skill set when it comes to learning.
Yeah, I think we're doing a better job of that, but we still get in the great debate over what's more important, math or science or the arts or history of the humanities. So I think there's still a great tug of war going on out there. I think we need math and science. We even need better math and science courses for those kids that want to go into math and science. But I don't think we want to force all kids to take as much math and science as possible at the expense of learning other things out there, the humanities. I just think they're all crucial. So I think education, I think there's a level that we continue to force, you know, every class on every kid, when some kids know what they want to do earlier, and I think we ought to give them an opportunity to specialize a little more than we do, even in high school. So.
Well, and to let them and to promote them and let them be proud of what they want to do instead
right.
of saying, oh, you need to do this, you need to be in the square peg.
Right. I mean, Mike Lukovich, who went to Bishop Kelly, I mean, all he liked to do was draw in high school, and I know he used to get in trouble a lot. But, you know, now he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist. So obviously he knew what he wanted to do a long time ago, and all of the teachers who said quit drawing in class didn't do him a great service. So, you know, we have to recognize their talents, what they want to do, what they like to do, and then give them all the support we can to get there.
What about parents? What's your message to parents? I mean, you're a parent, you're an educator, so you can hit it from both perspectives.
Well, I think parents have to give kids all the support they need in school, but they got to let them fly on their own, too. I think with this age of the Internet, where you can basically monitor your kids' grades by the minute, it puts a lot of pressure on a youngster that every quiz he gets and everything he gets is going to be – he's got to deal with it at home. I mean, we grew up in an age where we only had to deal with that once every 9 weeks.
And progress reports,
when the report card came home, it was here you go, mom and dad. And if it was good, life was good. If it wasn't, life wasn't so good. So
right.
Today, I think it's tough for them. So my advice to parents is, I mean, I think you want to – you know, give your kids support and help them achieve in school, but you got to let them fly a little too. You got to let them have their wings.
We'll get you out on this one. The importance of history. We see it in world events today, and to reinforce critical thinking skills. You know, I look at things and I can't believe how history continues to repeat itself, and we have people that don't have that historical perspective because they didn't get it in high school, didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And I just saw last week where Boise State's cutting back a couple professors in their history department because they're not making history courses a requirement in some of their coursework. And it breaks my heart because, I mean, everything out there today from ISIS on down, I mean, how are you going to stop ISIS? You can't until you understand the history of it. You have to understand where it came from and the background and how it unfolded and the history of the region. So really to deal with any problem in the future, if you don't have the background of it, you can't successfully. So, yeah, the value of history is, I think, incredibly important. Obviously, I'm biased, but, you know, in the law, too, I'm a lawyer, and obviously the law is all based
what
on
haven't
precedent
you done?
And things. Well, there's a lot of things I haven't done yet, so we'll see. But, no, it's just it's important. I mean, all of it is. I mean, whether you're working with community service, I also work with a group called OSE here at the school, and, you know, the history of homelessness, the history of all those things, you can't really deal with anything today without an appreciation of how it all came to be. So I'm a big believer in that.
Well, we appreciate that. Do you want to say anything about oaths quickly?
Well, it's just was started here at Bishop Kelly 5 years ago, and its mission is to help local homeless students enjoy, succeed, and stay in school, and it's been fantastic for us. I mean, we have 100 of our kids here are involved. We've helped over 2,000 local homeless kids from 60 different schools in the past 5 years. Get what they need for school. We our kids tutor 3 days a week at shelters, and it's been a great experience both for our kids and learning about how to help other kids and in helping these kids who are less fortunate achieve what's most important in their life, and that is to get an education. So it's been a great thing for us, and we're very proud of it.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Good morning!
Promote our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now from Bishop Kelly High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
722, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by our great friend Joe from Chick-fil-A. Owner, operator, entrepreneur, educator, puppy owner. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here again.
You know, we want to thank you and Brad and all the great folks at Chick-fil-A for believing in this program. You've been with us for many, many years.
Yes,
and
sir.
We appreciate you coming out.
It's my pleasure. It's good to be here this morning. It was a little darker than last week, but, you know.
Yes, it is. For most of us, it's 6:22 instead of 7:22.
Yeah.
How important is it as a great member of the community to make sure that we have an educated workforce?
You know, I've got kids that go to school, and I've got kids that work for me that go to school, and they're all, you know, so I'm surrounded by people that are involved in the education program or in the process. And, you know, it's real important for us as employers of these kids to help them succeed in our end in their career and in their future with college or going through high school. And we love to see the impact of when the community gets together, the parents get together, and the educators get together and see these kids just grow.
What's it like working with these kids? Because, you know, most of us will come in, we'll get our delicious number one from Chick-fil-A, which is the Chick-fil-A sandwich, which is the with the pickle and the waffle fries and the sweet tea, if you will. You know, and that's our interaction, but, I mean, you've got to, you know, they've got to get the work skills. They have to have incredible customer service. They have to have attention to detail. That's easier said than done.
It is. You know, I think that one of the things that drove me to be an entrepreneur with Chick-fil-A was the opportunity to work with a lot of young people. I mean, and they keep me energized. They keep me young and enthusiastic. And, you know, I think the challenge is, and I think Mr. Skinner was kind of touching on it, is honing in on those skills that they have. And then when, you know, through the interview process, just looking for those things, someone that's engaging immediately and that can smile. And so just really working with their positive characteristics and honing on that. And it's very energizing. And I love to see, you know, I'll hire a kid at like 15, 16-ish.
Sure.
And then see them grow through high school. And then oftentimes I've been able to see people go through college and onto their careers. And that's just a really fulfilling thing.
How do you get them to work? I mean, all these parents are going to go, you know, they come in to work at Chick-fil-A, new store here on Milwaukee, and all of a sudden they're a different person as opposed to at home where they won't make their bed.
Well, we have one slight advantage is we do have a paycheck that we can give them. And, You know, and we create an environment where that's the norm. You come in, you work hard, we have a good time, you know, and we develop that culture of hard work equals fun. And I think that's important to do.
What about the outstanding customer service that you guys are known for?
That has to do, in my opinion, with the model that Chick-fil-A has, where you've got a localized owner-operator in the business. I live in the community. My kids go to school around here. I mean, I see you. Yeah. You eat at Chick-fil-A. You know,
yes,
so there's
right.
some accountability to that. And so we make sure that everybody that we bring on our team is going to be a positive reflection, not just for Chick-fil-A, but for me. And so it's really important that they represent me well and Chick-fil-A in the community, because when I run into people about Chick-fil-A, I want to hear them say, oh, man, it was so great, you know, and that's what we expect. And so we seek those kind of team members. You know, we look for people that have that natural smile, that it's second nature to them, really.
It always amazes me when I bring people into Chick-fil-A, the people go, wow, the service is great. And, you know, that's just how it is. And that's how you differentiate yourselves from other people. And the food is incredible as well. You're a fan of this area. You
yes.
chose to live here along with our friend Brad as well. How is it going? You've got a new store here in Milwaukee. You're our economic barometer. How are we doing economically here in the Valley?
Yeah, that is right. Brad and I both picked Boise, the Boise area. He's out in Meridian, over a lot of other places around the country, partially because of the growth that Boise's seen, but also because of the ease of accessibility to the outdoors. And that was a big deal to us. But to answer your question, I think when I drive around the valley and I see construction and I see homes being built and I see businesses being built, that is kind of where I, you know, gauge that barometer. And man, you drive out. Have you been out to Southeast Boise in a while and
mm-hmm.
seen all those homes? I mean, that's healthy to me. And I think people love the valley. And when they come here, they're going to want to stay. And I think that's just going to be a big part of the growth of Boise is the quality of life you get.
Well, I always love talking to you because you've embraced the outdoors here.
Yeah.
You're always riding your mountain bike or doing something. And,
yeah.
and that's how I live through you and others. Because my activity is what's on the Discovery Channel
yeah.
or buying Alaska or what have you. But tell us a little bit about your lifestyle here because, again, we're so family friendly. And what you've enjoyed about the trails and everything.
Yeah. So this last summer, I finally took my I say finally, he's only five.
Mm-hmm.
But he did his first pack trip. We took two nights in the mountains and just backpacked in. And that's
fun.
It was a blast.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to see him, we went with a bunch of other boys.
Right.
He was the youngest, so I was pretty proud. But to see all these boys just in nature with literally nobody around. And,
right.
you're a few miles into the mountains. It couldn't go too far because they're pretty little. But that's what I moved here for, you know, just the opportunity to get out and experience nature and, you know, without any noise. And to wake up in the middle of the night, look out your tent and see all these stars, it's incredible. And I want my kids to be able to experience that. So my three-year-old is going to go. Not a backpack trip, but we're going to start taking him quite a bit this summer, too. So I'm looking forward. This is going to be a summer of fun for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Indeed. Tell us a little bit about Milwaukee. How do you like being, a little bit more into the retail than you were downtown?
Yeah. So I had a mall Chick-fil-A. It was inside a mall mm-hmm. in Florida. And so it was really just a natural fit. I really understand and work well in that retail environment. And so far it's been really a wonderful transition. I mean, I moved from the one downtown to the one over here in Franklin. It's a little bit farther of a drive from where I live, but it's, we've kind of gotten Boiseitis now where a 15-minute drive is.
Yes, way out in Meridian, as you just said.
Yeah,
yes.
Way out in Meridian.
Right.
As opposed to my 50-minute commute back in Florida. So.
Right. Finally, we want to thank you. And we want to thank Brad and all the folks at Chick-fil-A. That's heartfelt. You guys have a lot of choices. You're a proud member of the community. I'm biased. As you can tell by my physique, I followed Chick-fil-A for years. But it's so great that you believe in this program. We really appreciate you guys and your local guys. You're active in the community. You're proud to be here. Look, you've done more things already as far as out in the foothills and all that than I have. So I'm going to add that to my resume of things. But in all seriousness, thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. We
it's
appreciate
our pleasure.
It.
We love being here. So,
and any specials today?
You buy one, you get the second for full price. That's what.
That's the Kevin Miller special. Yes. Thank you very much, Joe. We appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Promote our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now from Bishop Kelly High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:38, we continue on. Rich Sabala with us, a BK senior, student, and athlete. Tell us a little bit about that basketball game Saturday night.
Well, it was a tough loss. We came back from 22-2 down, ended up taking the lead in the fourth quarter, and wasn't the way we wanted to end our season, but it was a great journey as a team.
A great journey indeed. Well, runners up in the state, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's our first time in the state championship since 2005, so we weren't expected to do much, but we sure did come out strong.
Well, you're winding up the year. You've got a few more months left, and then it's on to other things. Your thoughts on, high school wrapping up?
It's a little nerve-wracking, but I'm happy to be soon moving on. I'll miss Bishop Kelly, but I'm ready to move on to college, I feel.
Yeah, a lot of people, whether they're parents, teachers, or fellow students, want to know really what goes on in the mind of a high school senior. Many of us don't remember what it was like to be your age. Okay, you've got pressure of, finish out the year strong. You've got the pressure of succeeding athletically, balancing all this. Tell us a little bit about your thought process.
I'm pretty focused. I like to – school comes first for me. But with athletics also being a big part of my life, I've been able to balance basketball and be able to succeed in school also. So it's a challenge, but it's not too big of a challenge that I'm not able to succeed at.
Sure. What would you like to do when you leave Bishop Kelly? You have been a part of this process. You've got your brothers. You've got parents. You've got teachers that for 50 years have been a part of Bishop Kelly. They come back year after year. When you see these faces, are you surprised by that, and do you think you'll be a part of that one day?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going off to college, being able to represent my school. Have to get my degree and everything, but I do feel like I will be able to represent my school with being successful later on.
What are you looking at as far as post-high school? What would you like to do?
I'm looking at civil engineering and maybe, if that doesn't work out, going into business, but I'm not fully sure yet.
Well, you got some time.
Yeah.
You do have some time. And what have you done as far as preparing yourself for life out of high school? People, parents, teachers, they always say you have to be prepared. This is the best time of your life where you have limited responsibilities. But you take yours very seriously. You're focused on your future. What type of work goes into your day when you say that school comes first?
Well, I've been trying to take hard classes, trying to prepare myself to work hard. But I've also been trying to have fun at the same time. Being able to balance fun and hard work is hard to do, but I feel like I've done a good job at that. I've also been involved with student council, which I feel like has prepared me to be prepared for moving on in the future.
Indeed, indeed. Anything that you would like to remember or would like the folks here to remember about your time here. When you're talking about the, moving on, let's say 5 years from now, what are you going to remember about Bishop Kelly?
What I will remember most about Bishop Kelly is how much of a community we are.
Right.
I feel like I know almost everybody in the hallways, just seeing everyone, feel like I'm so important at this school. Everybody knows me by name, and just being able to come back and bond with my teachers, past students that I knew, with my brother, cousin still being here. I just want to be remembered and come back to this wonderful community, Bishop Kelly.
Now, if you could go back and back into the time machine, if you will, to where you were 4 years ago, Do you believe that you'd be where you are today? How much have you grown?
I feel like I've grown a ton. Coming in after 9 years at St. Joe's, I wasn't the most outgoing kid. I was pretty shy, I felt. But over these 4 years, I feel like I've really opened up. I'm able to communicate much more easier, and I feel like I've become a much harder worker and understanding how school is important. I need this for my future. So I was a little lazy back in 8th grade, 7th grade, but
slacker,
I feel like,
huh? Yeah,
a little bit.
Those are the years.
Yeah, I feel I'm much better now.
Sure. A final thought for you, Rich. How big of community service that you've participated in has changed you?
How big has it changed me?
Yeah.
Doing
these service projects. And
service projects. I wasn't able to go for my senior service project. I worked with Oaths over the summer, mentoring young kids and helping them for their future. But one of the things I wanted to do, but I wasn't able to because I was abroad. I was in Europe. But our senior class went to New Orleans and helped with reconstructing New Orleans after Katrina. And I feel like service has changed my life. It shows that I need to help people in order for me to be happy. I need to make others happy.
Well, good luck with that.
Hey, thank you.
And thank you very much. We appreciate it. And have a great day.
Hey, thank you.
All
you
right.
too.
7:44, Kevin Miller in the morning from Bishop Kelly High School, courtesy of our friends at Cap Ed and Chick-fil-A. We'd love for you to, you know, stop by and see those folks. They understand the value of local education and will be at the schools now until the middle of May. We're always looking to come see you, always looking to profile great folks like we're talking to, Rich and Mr. Skinner and others. We're at Bishop Kelly High School today. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll take a look at traffic. Before that, though, we were talking a little bit about credit ratings and credit scores, and believe it or not, there are going to be some changes. Here's our own Rachel Sutherland with the details at 580-KIDO. We'll get to that in a minute as we move along here at Bishop Kelly High School. But if, again, you're thinking that your credit scores are going to be the same, well, it looks like a lot of those folks are changing their dynamics. Plus, we'll take a look or listen to the new Apple Watch. Is it the best thing ever? And we'll do that coming up at 580-KIDO. Let's take a look at traffic now. Dave Burnett is State.
Promote our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now from Bishop Kelly High School, here's Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. When I think back
on all okay, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Phone number's here, 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com, what we were talking about before, the idea of vaccinations and whether or not you as a parent have a right to say no to vaccinations. You've taken a look at measles and mumps and everything else that has continued to grow and continued to move through the area. And you have school officials that are very concerned about it, school officials that are saying, you know, you've got to get the vaccinations. And I believe in Oregon, they've combined, you know, the need for vaccinations with making it mandatory. They've said, essentially, look, you're not going to have a choice when it comes to vaccinating your kids. And here we are at Bishop Kelly High School. We're talking about health and everything else. You have to wonder. So does the state, in your opinion, have the right to tell you at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, whether or not we have the you have the right to say no to vaccinations? That's one question. Number two, you have the situation involving the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, talking a little bit about whether or not she should reveal her emails. That is a huge issue when it comes to transparency and accountability. You have Democrats, prominently Dianne Feinstein and others, saying that she needs to release all those emails. Then you have Trey Gowdy with the House Affairs Commission basically saying that he knew about this for 6 months. So those are some issues, and we'll get to those. Another issue I'd like to hit with you, since we're talking education, is the value of education today. You know, we take a look at the State General Assembly, and you have people wondering whether or not teachers that teach in the public education system are going to get pay raises, and how big are those pay raises? And, you know, big topic on Senator Sitaway holding up any tax breaks, any tax relief for the upper income folks until teachers get that pay increase. Then you have the issue involving tiered tenure and, you know, where do we go? I think we need to start simplifying the process. And lo and behold, when we simplify the process, we look at what's going to have the biggest impact on getting kids excited. You know, when you're, and, you know, perhaps I have a bias on this because when I was in school, I was not the greatest student at all. I was not engaged. So it's amazing when we go to Bishop Kelly and other great schools that these kids are so focused and ready to go, right? So what's that going to take? We hear such negativity when it comes to school, when it comes to education. That's one of the reasons why we're here at 580KIDO to make sure that the good stories are told. But when you take a look at half the funding of the general fund goes to education, and we have the test scores that a lot of people, wherever you are, appear to be better, well, how do we do it? That's where you come in as well, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So we have three stories. I'll review them for you briefly while we're here at Bishop Kelly. Number one, the idea of over whether or not you should have the choice to vaccinate your children when they go to school, whether it's private or public schools. You know, as adults, we make our own informed decision. I choose not to, in fact, get a flu shot. Now, if I get the flu, shame on me. If I get the mumps, the measles, and everything else, shame on me. If I get the shingles, shame on me. Terry Bradshaw says you need to get the shingles shot because it's very, very painful. I believe Terry Bradshaw. But when it comes to kids, you know, I always thought it was mandatory. Now you have a story in the paper where vaccinations are optional. In Oregon, they're getting rid of that. They're going to make people get vaccinations. Now, we know you need to get the flu shot. We know you need to do these things if you're a kid. Does the state, in your opinion, have the right to tell you whether or not your kid should have a shot? And then you talk about your religious beliefs. You talk about maybe it's against your faith. Maybe you think that it's not a good thing. You know, where does expression, freedom end, and safety begin? That's the first question. The second question involves what to do pertaining to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State. When you're doing those things, the big issue involving her emails and whether or not she should be required to release those specific emails. That's a concern, and you know, people say it's back to the mid-90s again. I think the journalists do have kind of a nostalgia when it comes to the Clintons and alleged scandals and everything else, right? But in turn, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, is this enough to derail her? You had Mark Halperin on the Sunday show saying he doesn't believe that she's the front runner. Now, we would like all of our leaders to, in fact, how should we put this, be accountable. We'd like all our leaders to, in fact, be transparent, right? Is that possible? We shall see. So we have those two questions, plus we'll take a sneak peek at the Apple Watch coming up as well. Let's regroup and get to traffic at 580 K.
Consumer advocates have fought for the changes at Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Among them, medical debts won't be reported until after 6 months, allowing more time for insurance payments to be applied. Also, people who can test items on their credit reports will be given more information concerning their dispute. The changes are the result of talks between the credit reporting agencies and New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman and will be implemented over the next 3 years. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
There we have it. As we move along here at 580KIDO, let's go to Pat in Boise with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Pat.
Well, good morning. And they want to do everything to get into our lives. But if you look at it, The Clintons have skated on darn near everything. And, you know, the fact that we have a guy in the White House that nobody knows a darn thing about, there's a good possibility that those same people will vote for Hillary Clinton. It's just really scary.
Pat, great point. We appreciate it.
Hey, hey, and it's top-down weather.
I'm already getting a visual. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Good morning.
KIDO.